Thank you, Linda. You know, there's an awful lot of children are being excused, and one brave teacher is going with them. Ah, a second brave teacher. We'll see you folks when we come back. Thank you, Janice. That's one of my favorite hymns. You know, the book of Philippians is a very small book, 4 chapters. And yet it has so much huge doctrine in it, things that are so important to us as Christians. And I want to make one thing very clear right now, before I get started. You folks are a great church family. I'm really glad to be a part of your family. And I'm so glad that I've got you for brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to have family. There's nothing like family. I know family sometimes fight. We don't. We love. And that's what we want. And you don't criticize family. And so this message is not being critical. I don't want anybody to take it that way. I'm going to remind you of some things, but that's all it is a reminder. It is not a criticism. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, we are told, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for," and you folks are all that, "my joy and crown," and you are also that. "So, stand fast in the Lord." Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. There is nothing greater than to see a soldier on his post standing at attention. What does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? Well, it does mean something to all of us. And sometimes we need to remember things that we did at a past time. During our annual budget meeting, we all agreed that we would increase our missionaries' support by 50%. And I made all of you aware of the fact that this couldn't just happen out of thin air. That if you wanted to do that, that you would have to help. You would have to participate. And I saw a lot of heads nodding. Yeah, I did. Question I have to ask this morning is, have you given an extra 50% this year to missions? Not cutting your tithe, not taking it from someplace else, but have you given 50%? The deacons and I myself met on Tuesday night. We were going over some of the financial information. The church is financially sound. You folks have kept it that way. It's nobody else, it's been you folks. But our missions account, as we looked at it, is in the hole. It is $6,759 short of what it should be. I don't know if you're aware of that. And that is something, missionaries are getting paid. They're getting paid out of our general fund. When we don't have the funds in the missions, the missionaries have to come first. They're the first thing that the ladies do at the beginning of the month is make sure those checks go in the mail. Because if you're working on a foreign field someplace, you can't go to the bank and say, I need a personal loan. We were a little concerned about that. I don't know what the problem is. I'm not going to speculate. We've been paying our missionaries out of the general fund, even though the missions fund itself has been going further and further in the hole. And the missions fund has not been up to budget since the first of the year, and we voted to give them an extra 50%. So I just had this question. They've been getting what we've agreed to give them, but the church has not been receiving what we agreed to give it in order to pay the missionaries. Some of us in leadership are going to do what we can in the next month or so to try and make up some of the deficit. But I have to ask you to help. Don't take it away from anything. This would be a sacrifice for you, a giving to the Lord. Do you think that God would have us keep our word in support of our missionaries? I think so. I think he would expect us to give, to keep our intentions. It's so easy. When we're looking at the future and say, oh yeah, I'll be able to do that. And none of you have probably ever had a problem with that financially. But sometimes things come up and we seem to get strapped for what we think we need. Some may think that others were going to make up the difference. We're not a governmental agency, okay? We can't print money. And so I remember that the vote was unanimous. So I know all of you are concerned about our missionaries. Since I have been one, Connie and I spent 30 years on the field as missionaries, different parts of the world. And I know that when you're depending on churches to help you live, you expect the church to keep their word. We have, folks. I want you to know that our missionaries have never missed a check. But our church finances are weak in that area. And so I would just ask you, no orders, no demands, pray about it. See what the Lord would do with you, what he would have you do. It would be fantastic if we had a missionary fund that was in the black, and we had to figure out how are we going to spend some of this money or more money on missionaries. I'd like to see us take on more missionaries at the first of the year. You remember 8 years ago when we came to this church, we were struggling financially. There was always a need. Things needed to be fixed. We always had financial needs. And through you folks, through you, things got done. When God would put an opportunity in front of us, you'd respond to it. Some of the ladies wanted a steeple, remember? And I said, well, if you pay for it, we'll put a steeple on the building, because the steeple had been taken off by lightning years before. And I inquired, found steeples. There's a company in North Carolina that builds them. And it was going to take about $12,000 to put that steeple on. And the first Sunday after they said, and we said, yes, okay, we'll do it when the funds come in. The first Sunday after that, $287 came in. And I thought, man, this is going to take a long time for us to put that steeple on the building. And the next Sunday, the Lord provided $10,000 towards a $12,000 steeple. That's how he's worked all through the years. When we've needed something, you folks have been able to rise up and meet the needs. And that's so encouraging. That's so glorifying to the Lord that he uses you for that kind of thing. I want to share a couple of verses with you. One of them is 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, 13 and 14. It tells us, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with love. And folks, that's what makes this congregation so wonderful. We love. We love each other. We love the Lord. We love lost people out there. We try and reach out to them. We love. And you know something? It's not us, it's the Holy Spirit within us. How many of you have ever been on a mission field? Man, we need to make a mission trip. Some of you folks need to get to the field and see what it's really all about. This verse in 1 Corinthians tells us that the support that we send every month is supposed to be motivated by love. And I think it is. I believe it is. We support our missionaries because we love our missionaries. And through them, we're loving the people that they minister to. When this church was struggling financially, I believe the Holy Spirit showed us that it was because we were not supporting missionaries like we needed to. And so that first year, we took on 8 more missionaries. 8. And then God began to bless. He did. Suddenly the finances were not a problem. And God blesses us if we will reach out in his service. I expect him to continue to bless this church. If we love God, and I don't think if I ask for anybody who doesn't love God to show a hand, I don't believe there'd be a hand in the audience I'm going to ask. We do love God. And because we love him, that's got to be the motive. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians 16, 14, it is to be done with love. So our giving to our missionaries is to be done with love. Love is demonstrated by giving. For God so loved the world that he, what? He gave. So, love, in love, we should be doing all that we can for the Lord. We should be giving to the Lord's work funds that we would like to use for ourselves. Might even have to be involved. But we'll give them to the Lord, and he'll take care of our needs. I have noticed that our missions offerings have actually fallen off instead of increasing, and I don't know why that is going on. The church leadership is concerned that we may be turning away from our commitment to support the ministry. And they asked me if I would speak about that this morning, and that's why we're talking about what we're talking about. It's been a blessing to have the school paying a monthly rent that has helped so much, as all of you know. And once the property is transferred to the school, they will be paying a monthly income every month to the church until a certain amount is reached. Now, the amount that they will be paying the church is actually $1,100 less. So that is something that we have to be aware of, that we will not have the same income, and any necessary income to be made up will have to be made up by us. I hear other churches talk about their pastors always asking for money. And folks, I hope I'm not doing that to you. Am I doing that? Am I constantly asking you for money? I hope not. That's not what we're here for. We're here to serve the Lord. We're here to reach out to people and to minister to the lost and our missionaries, and through them, lost people in other parts of the world. A couple of weeks ago, we studied the Great Commission and what God might want for the Church of Jesus Christ to accomplish. We have a testimony involving the appearance of our church. The ladies, 7 years ago, wanted a steeple because people thought this was a Coast Guard station. It said Coastal Shores, and they just went by and read it, and they thought it was Coast Guard. They wanted a steeple so people would know it was a church. We're going to have a work day next Saturday. The reason is not to keep you occupied when you have something else, or if you may have something else to do. The reason is we're going to keep it looking neat around here because that's part of our testimony. We keep the grass cut because that's part of our testimony. We want the church clean. We want the trash picked up. We want these things because that's part of our testimony. We want people to know that God lives here in His people. God lives here in His people. So, we're going to fix the parking lot. We set up some priorities. When I say we, the deacons, myself, as we met, we set up some priorities for the church. First, we're going to fix the parking lot. That's priority one. The reason for that is we don't want any of you losing a car and some of the holes out there in the parking lot, okay? And it's going to take a while to fix it, but we're going to fix it Saturday. The next priority that we are concerned about is bringing our missions account back up into the black. And so we would like to ask you to do all you can to help with that. And I don't think we'll have to worry about it getting too far in the black. We can always find mission projects that we can get involved in or that you might want to get involved in. For some of you, it's going to be a sacrifice. The early church sacrificed. Paul gave everything he had. So this is a challenge that I would share with the church. And we find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And folks, I want you to know that we do give thanks for you. On the last Saturday of every month, the deacons meet at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we pray for you, all of you. If you have needs during the month, we communicate with each other and we pray for you. Because that's not our job. That's our privilege. To be able to talk to God for you. So that you will have what God wants you to have. And so he says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, there's this phrase again, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The thing we're actually talking about is yours and mine, sanctification. God wants to make you like Jesus. He wants you to have the same spirit that Jesus had. He wants you to have the same philosophy that Jesus had. And he will do that if we make ourselves available. But that's the key. We have to be available to God for him to be able to do that. You know, the early church people gave all that they had to the Lord. He doesn't ask that of us any longer, but it is a tradition that the church meet the needs of the church community. On the 24th, they're going to park another camper out here. I'm going to move into it over the next few days. I will be here. Where the motorhome was parked, there'll be an RV out there. Not a motorhome, but a tag-along. Our society is changing, and the school has asked me, if I move back onto the property, to help them with security. We have people prowling through here at night. Some of you know that we've had people sleeping here and living here on the property. Yeah. Over the years, last few years, we've had a chance to lead at least two of them to the Lord. So this is something that I can help with. The passage in 2 Thessalonians we just read, we're told by Paul, and he was under the control of the Holy Spirit, to stand fast and maintain the things that the early church did. And the early church took care of their missionaries and needs in the community. As a church family, we invited Dave and Claudia Barber to spend a week ministering to us in an effort to stir up our spirits so that we could at least let the Spirit use us to accomplish the things that God wants us to engage in. Folks, we are getting ready to prove whether or not Dave and Claudia Barber accomplished anything. for the Lord. We can all do more. More than just give. We can be more. And that's what we want to do. We want to be more. We want to be more effective. We want to see people saved. I don't care if they call us fanatics. I'd love to be known as a fanatic at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. All the time they're talking about Jesus. That's what God wants from us. I believe that. And all that goes along with it. We need to be able to fill the chairs that are here by bringing friends, bringing family, not at gunpoint, but bringing them in because they want to know more. They want to experience more. They want it to be real. And it has to be real, folks. If it's not real, we're wasting our time here. Now, so I'm going to ask you a question. And the question I'm going to ask you is in God's place. I'm not God. I know Him. I talk to Him pretty regularly. I hope you do too. But I want to ask you a question in His place. A question that He put on my mind. Now, I can't read God's mind, and nobody can. I'm not going to presume that I have any knowledge that He has. But let me ask a question. Can you do more than you are doing for the Lord? Can you do more than you are doing for the Lord? Or are you right at the end of all you can accomplish? If I answer it yes, the answer would have to be yes, I could do more. Which brings up the next normal question. Why aren't I doing it? Why aren't I doing it? I can come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses, but that's all they are. So that's a question that I'm going to have to personally deal with God and myself. But it's also a question that some of you are going to need to ask yourself. And you are the one who's going to have to deal with God about it. I wonder why we're not doing all that we could for the Lord. And that requires examination. We are to look at ourselves. We are to judge ourselves so that God doesn't have to judge us. You know, people are going to be judged two different times. Actually, three, but let's talk about two right now that deal with God. There's the Bema Seat judgment when you and I breathe our last breath. Our heart beats for the last time. And we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be the Bema Seat judgment. He's going to ask us why. Or what. Why didn't you? What kept you from? And folks, there won't be any excuses at the Bema Seat. It'll be Jesus Christ. For those who don't know him, they will stand in the great white throne judgment, and we already know what their judgment's going to be. They'll wind up in a lake of fire. We will not wind up in a lake of fire, but we might have to be ashamed. Those are the two judgments that the Bible talks about, but there is a third one that it talks about. And it talks about judging ourselves, really examining. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about why we don't hear God. And one of the reasons we don't hear God is that we get deceived. And we came up with the idea that people want to deceive us. Most of us have met somebody who's tried to deceive us. And that's not good. They're not our friend. But you know, there's another person who wants to deceive us. You say, oh yeah, Satan, he wants to deceive us, get us away from the Lord's work. No, there's another person. And that person who wants to deceive you is you. You. We make up excuses. We come up with reasons to justify our actions. And actually, we're deceiving ourselves. So there is a third judgment, and the judgment is we will judge ourselves, and we won't have to be judged when we stand before Jesus. There are several philosophies as to why we would give to Jesus. And so I just like to quickly take a look at them so that you can consider where you stand. There are three verses that we can sum up the giving in. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know this passage. You've heard this passage a few times in your life. You know it's true. You've experienced parts of it. But let's just be reminded. We do that with our children when we're telling them what they're supposed to do and not do. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you want something special, give something special. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You know, I have seen people. Of course, I've had 50 years to do this from here. I've seen people give grudgingly. Or because they feel like it's their duty, not because they love God, not because they love giving. But because they feel like they have to. I hope nobody in this church ever feels that way. You give according to what the Holy Spirit tells you to give. And I like the end of verse 7. For God loveth. I'm going to use a different translation for one word here. For God loveth a hilarious giver. I did not see one chuckle during the offering. Bobby, did you see anybody chuckling while they were giving? Lacey? Oh, did you? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, for God loveth a cheerful giver and is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, and that may abound to every good work. I want to see us do more, folks. I want to see us do more for our missionaries. I want to see us reach new people. And we can. I know we can. But we'll all have to get involved. Like I said, I'm not chiding you. I'm not scolding you. I'm not criticizing you. You're doing good. But I believe we can do better. I believe we can. God has promised to take care of our needs if we trust Him with what He provides to us for His ministry. How much of what God is providing to you is He providing to you to be used for His ministry? Let's see what we can do in the next couple of weeks about bringing the missions account back up into the black. And we don't want to do it grudgingly. And we don't want to do it because we think we have to do it for looks, but because it makes us happy. Because it makes us happy to do that. Remember, God loveth a cheerful giver. Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you do love us and that you are using us to accomplish your will. Father, help us to serve you cheerfully all the time and not forget that this is a privilege that you permit us to do. And Father, may we be smiling while we are working for Thee. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.